Schneps Media is proud to present a series of Long Island congressional candidate forums sponsored by AARP New York, so you can be more informed as you cast your vote on November 5th, 2024. On this episode of Schneps Connects, we're joined by Congressmember Tom Suozzi, the Democratic candidate for Congress's 3rd District of New York. The district encompasses the North Shore of Nassau County, parts of Western Suffolk, and Northeast Queens. Tom, thanks so much for your time and being with me today.
Yeah, Josh, thanks for having me on.
I would really just love for you to share your background and experience for our listeners and viewers.
I'm the youngest of 5 children. My father was born in Italy, and my mother's from Queens. She's Irish and English. And I went to Chaminade High School, which is an all-boys Catholic school out here on Long Island. And then I went to Boston College and studied accounting. Went to go work for Arthur Anderson and Company and got my CPA. And then I went to law school at Fordham Law School. I clerked for the Chief Judge of the Eastern District of New York. I worked for a big international law firm, Sherman and Sterling, and then I was the mayor of Glen Cove for 8 years, my hometown. And then I was the county executive in Nassau County for 8 years. I actually ran for governor of New York State against Eliot Spitzer in a Democratic primary. That didn't turn out very well for me. Didn't turn out very well for Eliot Spitzer either, as we know. And then I lost my election for re-election as county executive for my 3rd term to a guy named Ed Mangano. He's now in jail for 13 years. So the rule is you can run against me, but if you beat me, your life is over after that. So don't. And then I was in the private sector for 7 years, worked for a firm called Lazard Frere and a law firm. And then I was in Congress for 6 years. I was on the Armed Services Committee and the Foreign Affairs Committee. Then I was on the Ways and Means Committee. And then I ran for governor again against Kathy Hochul in a Democratic primary and got beaten badly again. I was out of politics. It was all over. I was 60 years old and had lost for governor twice. And everybody was mad at me in the Democratic Party. And then the guy who ran for my seat and won was this guy who became very famous. His name is George Santos. And for the first time in my career, all the Democrats were calling me up and saying, "Hey, Tom, you got to run again. You got to run again." So I ran. I got a tremendous amount of help. It was a big race, followed closely throughout the country. And I'm back in Congress. I've been there since February 28th. And I've got to run again on November 5th.
So share with our listeners, what are the 3 most important issues that you're focused on in this campaign and Congress right now? And what is your stance on each of those?
Well, I'm always pushing against extremism and trying to use common sense and working across party lines to accomplish my 4 main priorities. Number 1 is to secure the border. People are just very, very disturbed about the southern border, as they should be. I've been working on this diligently. Even since I got back to Congress, people are listening to what I have to say for once. And I sent a letter to the president along with a Republican, Brian Fitzpatrick from Pennsylvania. He's a lawyer and a CPA like I am. He used to work for the FBI going after public corruption. And we asked the president to not allow people to apply for asylum in between the ports of entry. And he did that. And it's actually had a dramatic impact. You haven't seen as much about this in the news as you had back in February because he did that executive order. But I also support the bipartisan legislation that was negotiated in the Senate, which I can give you more details on that later, but it's more judges and more custom border patrol agents, more wall, more technology, fix the broken asylum system. And then there are other things to bring money to New York and other places that are dealing with this crisis, as well as get rid of the backlog of all these cases. And there's other things I want to do that I've been working on with another Republican, a conservative guy from Texas. His name is Morgan Luttrell. He's a former Navy SEAL. And we're building a coalition of business badges and the Bible to build a national bipartisan coalition to secure the border, fix the broken asylum system, and modernize the legal immigration system, treat people like human beings. So that's number 1. Number 2 is to bring back the state and local tax deduction. I worked on this a lot before when I was on Ways and Means. I built a bipartisan coalition again. I passed it through the House 3 times to restore the state and local tax deduction, but we couldn't get it through the Senate. So now I think I know what the secret sauce is. I'm going to get it passed in the House again, and we're going to get it done in the Senate. The state and local tax deduction cap that was put in place by President Trump and the Republicans back in 2017 expires. The cap at $10,000 expires in 2025. There's going to be a lot of things expiring as part of the tax law, and there'll be a lot of negotiations going on. I'll be right in the thick of it, fighting to get us the state and local tax deduction back. Number 3, I try to bring money back to the district. I brought millions and millions and millions of dollars back to the district to clean up pollution, to work on the Long Island Sound, on drinking water cleanup, on stormwater remediation, on helping local projects in Queens and in Nassau, even in Suffolk, when I used to represent Suffolk before. And I've got some other things in the pipeline. I've got to bring money back to the district. We passed some major laws related to infrastructure, related to what they call the Inflation Reduction Act. I had a lot of money in there related to green energy. We need to bring that money back to my district. And I'm good at negotiating the bureaucracy to figure out how to get that money back to our district. And finally, my biggest priority, along with all of those, is something everybody cares about, which is to try and heal this partisan divide. Everybody stop fighting with each other. Let's work together to solve the problems. When I got endorsed by Newsday, the headline was Swazi Stresses Bipartisanship. I got endorsed by the police unions, which doesn't happen that often with Democrats these days because they see that I fight for law enforcement. I got endorsed by all the environmental groups because of the work that I've done on the Long Island Sound and on cleaning up drinking water and a whole bunch of other stuff environmentally. And I've been endorsed by AIPAC because of my unequivocal pro-Israel stance. So I've got the priorities of the border, SALT, bringing money back to the district, healing the partisan divide. But I work on a whole bunch of other stuff as well to try and move our country forward. I just want to give one example. When I first got back to Congress, there was a big bill that had been negotiated for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. And Speaker Johnson was not putting it on the floor because Marjorie Taylor Greene and some of the other extremists on the other side, and we've got extremists on our side too, but extremists on their side were saying, if you put that bill on the floor, we're going to move to kick you out the way we kicked Kevin McCarthy out. I was the first member of Congress, the first Democrat, to say, listen, Mike Johnson is a Republican, but if he puts that bill on the floor, I know it will pass overwhelmingly bipartisan. And number two, if they try to kick him out, I'll vote to keep him as the speaker. Even though I don't agree with him on a lot of stuff, this issue is too important to get caught up by the extremists. And so what happened? He put it on the floor. It passed overwhelmingly bipartisan. And when they try to kick him out, over 100 Democrats joined in keeping him as the speaker. So I'm not going to vote for him in January, but I want to just say that I put my money where my mouth is when it comes to working across party lines.
Let's talk about seniors a little bit. 48 million Americans help their loved ones each day to remain independent in their homes and communities. These family caregivers sacrifice time and money and provide $600 billion annually in unpaid support. How would you help family caregivers?
Well, this is a major issue that I'm very concerned about. I grew up in a house. All four of my grandparents lived in my house growing up. Three were very sick. My mother was a nurse. We all helped take care of them. Very tough things, nice things, but also tough things growing up with my grandparents living at home. My parents didn't want to see us go through the same thing, so they got long-term care insurance. And they lived to 95 and 93, you know, great aging and end-of-life experiences at home. But long-term care is not affordable for most families because the long-term care insurance industry lost a lot of money when they first started these insurance products. And because of the people that lived for much longer than the average, some people living 5, 10, 15, 20 years after they couldn't take care of their activities of daily living. So I have a bill in Congress, actually, called the WISH Act, which is actually going to address the catastrophic care, the idea that you live much longer than the average, and get the federal government to help pick up that catastrophic care piece so that the private sector and individuals can get long-term care insurance that's affordable. And so that family members can take care of somebody if you're lower income for a year, and if you're super duper rich, take care of them for 5 years, but then this program will kick in after that period of time. And in the meanwhile, you can take care of people by getting family members to take care of you, which is not as easy these days as it was in the old days because people have smaller families, people live a lot longer, and people travel and move throughout the entire country instead of staying at home in their hometown. So we have a lot more seniors, 30,000 new senior citizens turning 65 every day, all the baby boomers aging out. And then you have in about 6 or 8 years, you're going to have 8,000 people a day turning 85 years old. And the number one new cause of homelessness in America these days is people turning 80. So we've got to address the storm that's coming. We can't put everybody in a nursing home. The system will go broke. Medicaid can't afford it. It's not a good way to have your end of life experience unless you have to do that. So we have to get family members encouraged and incentivized and even paid to take care of family members. But we also have to set up a public-private partnership for long-term care insurance that's affordable.
You know, speaking to a lot of the points that you've made, Social Security, the Social Security Trust Fund is expected to see a shortfall in 10 years. If Congress doesn't act, millions of Americans who are counting on Social Security will see cuts to the money they've earned. Do you see a path for Congress to work on a bipartisan solution to protect Social Security for those who have earned it?
There's only two ways to address the Social Security issue. One is to raise more revenue, or two is to cut benefits. Nobody wants to really cut benefits. And the big idea that's often proposed by the other side is to raise the age of when you are eligible for Social Security. I don't support that idea, because if you're a person who works outside in the elements, you're a construction worker, your job is outside, your body doesn't last beyond 65. It just doesn't. So we have to figure out how to balance the need to take care of people with the fact that there's not enough money for it. And we need to get more people paying into the system, which is why it's important for the people that have been here for 20 or 30 years that are now undocumented, like the Dreamers and the TPS recipients and some of these farm workers. Let's make sure that they're in the system and they're paying taxes. But also, there's a bill that Democrats are supporting, Republicans haven't really supported it, which is to, right now, you pay Social Security on your wages up until, I forget the exact number, but it's like $120,000, $130,000. John Larson from Connecticut has proposed, for everybody making wages above $400,000, you should have to pay Social Security on your income from $400,000 and above. So that would generate enough money to secure the system and actually increase benefits. And it's a good idea, but we either have to cut benefits or increase revenues. The only way to increase revenues is to get more people paying into the system, or get people to pay that are some of the wealthier people in our country to pay into the system on their wages above $400,000.
So, Tom, last question, really a closing statement from you. Why should Long Islanders vote for you?
Well, the bottom line is people know me. You know, I have a record of accomplishment of getting things done for people. They know that I have a reputation for working across party lines to get things done. Every politician can say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I've been doing it my whole career, actually helping people. And I'm very grateful for the opportunity. I'm happy with my life choices I've made, because I've gotten to do what I've always dreamed of doing, which is to try and get people to work together to solve problems, to actually make the world a better place to live in. And so I'm sick of the extremism, like everybody else. When I got elected back in February and I gave a speech on the floor of the Congress on February 28th, all my colleagues were there. It's the first time I gave a speech with everybody in the room. I've given 50 speeches in the past on the floor of the Congress, but there's usually 10 people in the room and you only see it on C-SPAN if you can't sleep at night. So this was every member of Congress in the room. And I said, wake up. The people are sick of this. They're sick of all the finger pointing and the attacking. Let's work together to get things done on the border, on affordability, on trying to make people's lives better, on the climate, on the health insurance, all these different issues. Every problem we face in our country is complicated. Nothing is simple. Anybody who says, why don't you just, doesn't know what they're talking about. To solve complicated problems, you need people, even people who disagree with each other, to sit down across the table and say, I think this. Well, I think that. Well, how about this? Well, how about that? And try and work your way to find common ground to move us forward as a country. That's what I'm committed to doing on my big priorities of securing the border and treating people like human beings, on restoring the state and local tax deduction, on bringing money back to the district, and of course, trying to heal this partisan divide. That's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to keep on doing, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to do it.
Tom, thank you so much for your time and for informing our audience. I want to remind everyone that this episode of Schnepps Connects is sponsored by AARP New York, and you can listen to this podcast and all of our podcasts at podcast.schneppsmedia.com, or stream us on all major podcast platforms, as well as Schnepps Media's YouTube channel.